than 1,000 elsewhere, Lord God. And yes, Lord God, there's so many things that I believe many of us want to carry and manage, Lord God. And yes, Lord God, that you allow us to carry those things up a mountain sometimes, just to see or get to a place where we come to the understanding, Lord God, of some things we can't change, Lord God. We have to come to you, Lord God. Most things in life, Lord God, we need you so much, Lord God. And yes, Father, that you are God of everything, Lord God. And yes, Lord, this morning we thank you, Lord God, that you've got a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us, Lord God. That you love us, Lord God. Lord Jesus, that you died on the cross, Lord God. And Father, we thank you for that sacrifice that Jesus, you have made. It means so much in eternity to everyone who comes to Jesus, Lord. And yes, Lord, I just pray for a revelation, Lord God, of this morning, Lord God, that we can be fellow workers, Lord God, co-builders this morning, Lord God, that we aren't just here to worship you, Lord God, but that you also called us, that you've got a plan with our lives, Lord God. And yes, Lord God, that sometimes, Lord God, that we are stubborn and foolish, Lord, and we go the wrong way, Lord, and that you allow us, Lord God, like Jonah, Lord God, to make the wrong decisions, Lord God. But Father, with your loving hand, Lord, you always bring us back, Lord God, to what you called us to do, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for that grace and mercy, Lord God, that even when we fail and we miss the mark, Lord God, that you hold us in your hands, Lord God, that you are more committed to us than we can ever be to you, Lord God. We thank you for that, Lord, and I pray, Lord, that each and every one of us will just live daily from a place, Lord, of knowing, Lord God, that yes, Lord God, that we are the clay, Lord, and we need you, that you can form us, Lord God, that you can prune us, Lord God, and that you have, yes, that calling and purpose for each and every one of us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Good morning. It's nice to have you here. If you missed the video clips just now, Michael, if you can bring the pulpit. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. There's quite a lot of happening in the next month or two. Thank you. I appreciate that. Ja, en ek het my kan gee. Dankie, man. I appreciate that. There's the Zambia missions in May that became the Katima Malilu missions. There's the Awakens Ladies Conference that you know about in May. There's the men's camp in June. And then there's the regional family camp in April between us and the guys in Swakopmund. As you know, the Awaken we do together as a region, the missions we do together, the family camp we do together, the men's camp we do together. So, if you can find time and you've got some time available, see if you can make it that weekend in April. It's going to be fun camping together with the guys of Swakopmund. So see if you can do that. I just love the way that God works things, you know, for the better, for us. I was praying before the time with Ronald, and he asked me, so what do you have on your heart for today? And I shared in a minute or two, I shared with him basically what I felt I'm going to share on. And then he told me that his offering is just for me. And I said, thanks, I appreciate it. And after I listened to his offering, I think, you know, we've got God definitely allows us to minister to each other. And I just feel that strongly this morning. This past week, I've got a good few friends that's also in ministry, also pastors, and I'm the one. And he said, you know, God is just reminding him once again to understand and to know that God is so much bigger than our circumstances. Now, that sounds, I guess, like a bit of a cliche, something we all know, but sometimes, I guess, circumstances, things that happens in our lives still have the ability to give us a bit of tunnel vision, to get us to a place where we just zoom in on a few things. I've read one or two times that they say when you become in a type of a fight situation, you get into tunnel vision. You don't see there, and you don't see there. You just focus on the dog right here in front of you that want to bite you or something. And I guess many times in life, you your marriage, your bank account, your job, your children, your parents, whatever it might be, then stuff happen where we get to that place. You just focus on this one thing, and then the things here on the side, let's call it the bigger picture, it just fades away. And then we get so entangled. I guess, I'm not sure what the English word is for that, but many of you will know klitsgras. Sarah, klitsgras, I don't know. If it gets in your socks, it never ever gets out again. It's those, I don't know how to translate it, but you know, we get into a situation of that where you're just fighting this thing in your sock and you kind of forget about the bigger picture. And then you also said in the mail as we were Skyping and we've got all this nice technology to talk to each other, you said it's so amazing that we remember that to keep the main thing our main thing, just in the same line. You know, and I think for me personally, I can share this morning that I guess that happened with me a few times in my life where you kind of lose the bigger picture, the 360-degree picture, and you zoom in on a few things, try to work that out, try to figure that out, and then in the process, there's other few things that fall on the floor. It gets lost. And it's nice to minister and to share, to know that in that sense, I'm just a normal guy like you, having a relationship with God, and that we make mistakes. And I think here, especially, and I can testify on that this morning, yeah, towards the end of last year, I just spoke to Reinald as well. You know, I came to that place of focusing on a few things and losing a bit of the focus of the rest, you know. But as we sang this morning, just about that place of one moment in God's presence is better than 1,000 elsewhere. And you know, today, they usually joke about it, and they say if you go to many Christian bookshops, there's so many books on becoming a better you and self-help Christianity and self-help stuff to sort out your problems, and some of that can be good advice. But nothing beats it to go to God or to His Word, and where He gives you a type of a key for a certain season in your life. And what I love about Scripture, and you all, you know it, is when we see how King David failed, how Moses got things wrong, how Jonah didn't listen, and he ended up in a whale or a big fish. Which Stefan, was it the big fish or a whale? I can't remember now. We'll have to check on that one, eh? Nevertheless, that God allows us to make mistakes like that, to go through times like that, and that He always wants to help us and teach us. And I remember the December holiday, I had quite a few questions in my own heart, and I preached it early in the year as well. You know, I just said to God, okay, God, I'm going to stop and try and figure out whether it's this juncture or that one, which way to go exactly. I'm just going to spend time with You. And then I just felt I'm going to read the book of Revelation. You know, just study that again, read through it without trying to get something specifically out of it. And I guess this is what makes Christianity so amazing, is that I think most of us sitting here this morning, that we almost exactly know how things are going to end. Yes, there's maybe a few questions about the rapture and a few things we're not exactly sure about, but that's okay. God is still in control. He, even if you don't know, it will still happen. It's not if you're going to determine how it's going to be or if you can change anything. But I guess when we read about Revelation and just say the bigger picture, then you can almost forget about yourself, this tiny little speck in a sense, and just see what God is doing over centuries, over millennia, what is happening. And then it just helps you again to get to that place of saying, okay, God, You obviously know best. You know me. You know what's happening around me. And I can really just trust You. End of February, first day of March, some of us and the guys in Swakopmund, we had the leadership training there. Some of you guys attended. And you know, me and my wife were driving through the Friday already. And I said to her, there's three things I'm trusting God for. So many times, if you don't trust God, or if you don't ask God for something, then maybe He will not give you the answer because you didn't ask for it. But sometimes He also does just show you something. But that specific day, I was asking three questions to God, me and my wife, Maritza. And the one I told her, I'm trusting God to show me something specifically regarding on that Saturday about the leadership training. And you know, afterwards, I can't remember my exact words. I was late in the day. I was speaking to Pastor Hercules, who did the first session in the morning. And, you know, he kind of asked the question, like, did you enjoy it? Just a normal time. And I said to him, man, I think it meant more than 100 sermons or, you know, that type of an answer where you were trusting God for something and he just gives you what you hoped he will give you. Not the sugar in that sense, but if you ask God a question, he gives you the answer. And that was really important to me. It really meant a lot to my heart. Pastor Hercules spoke about those screenshot moments in our lives. That moments where you are trusting God for, God, I need you here. I need to make a decision. Is this my wife or not? Is this my job or not? Is this my calling or not? Is this my whatever you. And you know, God, sometimes I've got a few of those in my life. And I guess it's like stones, building something in your life. I remember one significant one was in 2005, where I got a job in Cape Town. And I don't like Cape Town, but the pay was so much bigger, and I can't remember if I was almost engaged I was either engaged or almost engaged. I can't remember specifically anymore. I guess I was engaged. I can't remember, but it doesn't matter. Now, if you came to that place in your life, a bigger salary usually means a lot because that means you want to marry, you want to start, you know, go on in life. So I had this temptation about the job in Cape Town with the biggest salary. But I just didn't have peace about it. And I asked God, you know, I remember I was actually on my knees. I lived with two guys that in a flat. And that Saturday morning, the two were away. And I was just asking God, Lord, what should I do? And I was also in part-time ministry there in Stellenbosch at that stage. And I remember the answer God gave me. It was so clear, you know. And it was basically, stay where you are. And that was the right thing to do. God said to me personally, feed my sheep. And I just knew that meant, you know, staying where I was in ministry, continuing with that, and not going for the biggest salary in the job. And just the testimony is just the amazing thing is, I think 2 months later, I anyway got a raise that was bigger than if I were to go to the other job. Maybe you were in similar situations. But what I want to minister a little bit on today, and once again, I believe it's not rocket science. I think some of the stuff in Scripture is so straightforward, but we battle so much with it. Love your neighbor. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Stuff like that. We battle with those things, if we are honest, you know. I want to read two quotes to you. I think it will be up there as well. The one is from a guy called Brent Fleck. And he said, we only have to be who God has created us to be. We are called to accomplish only what he has designed us to do. Now then I really feel... that's to me, when we talk about stuff like that, many times I feel like, sure, something dropping off my shoulders. God had the plan with my personal life. He's got it with all of you guys. And then I think, if I think about sport or something, I think, sure, God, thank you that you didn't make me a prop or something like that. That looks like damaging yourself just for the guys out there. But also for the thing God designed you to do. Now, this is something... not that complicated, but I think one of the biggest questions when you're probably in high school, my boys are now small, so you probably saw in the past week, did you see this fighter jets flying over Olympia? Who of you saw them? Okay, so what do you think 7-year-old boys want to become now? Whoa, God, how do you become that? It looks amazing. It looks like fun. Okay, or they see a movie with a guy in the army or a policeman or a fireman, and they just think that's the most awesome job. And maybe it is, but it depends on what God's plan for you is. John Bevere also said, you'll not be judged according to what you did, but rather according to what you were called to do. Now, that is the more challenging part to me. That is the more challenging thing about sometimes we can fall into a place of trying to please God. Now, I remember when I was small, you know, I got this little army men, these plastic ones, and at the bottom it said made in China. At this stage, there's no Chinese guys in church yet, so I can still say it. But when I was small, a lot of the stuff that came from China were really junk. It was cheap, it was fake, it wasn't that amazing. And I remember playing with those things, and when I prepared my sermon, I just felt also that sometimes We must just make sure that our relationship with God isn't that fake one, the one made in China. Now, all credit to the Chinese, they're building big things in our country, awesome stuff. I'm talking now 30 years ago when I was small, and a lot of the stuff we received were mass production, not made to last very long. But it's important that our relationship with God doesn't have a stamp like that on it. Because it's so easy that it can look like the real thing, but it's not. And even in a small group, in a church context, we can hold that face where we, you know, it seems like the real thing, but it's not. Now the thing is, we all know that one day we're going to stand before God. And we're going to have to give account about our lives and stuff. And one thing I want to share specifically on, and in my personal life, it has meant so much to me. Maybe it has meant a lot to you. It will mean a lot to you. But I just want to share a little bit on something. It's called temperament, you know. So that means we are not all the same. It basically comes from the parenting course, stuff that I really enjoy. And this morning, early morning, when I was just preparing again, I just thought how amazing it is how God's things work together, especially something like prophecy. My boys, last week Tuesday, they turned 7 years old. So you can really judge their personalities now, the twins, how they differ now. Because they are twins, they grew up exactly in the same way. Eat the same food, went to the same schools, lived in the same house, everything. But it's amazing to see how they differ. Now, about 6.5 years ago in Stellenbosch, Pastor Fred, he did the baby dedication and he prayed over their lives. And by that stage, we kind of could discern that the one boy looks like my family and the other one looked like my wife's family. And afterwards, my dad came and he said to me, "Did you tell Pastor Fred what to pray over their lives?" I said, "No, we didn't speak to him at all." And he's like, "But how, you know, it really makes sense, the stuff that he prayed over the one boy and over the other one." And now, as time is going by, you can just see so much more what Pastor Fred prayed in terms of who they are, their temperament, what God designed them to be, how much they differ. And it's amazing when that spirit of prophecy comes, and obviously Pastor Fred, he can't discern like how old was the babies, 5 or 6 months old. That's just a cuddly bundle of human there. You can't discern their personalities. Babies, what do, Michael? They cry and they eat and other stuff. So that's basically what they do. So you can't say this is what this one is going to be like and this is what that one is going to be like. But God had a plan. He showed it to, basically gave a bit of revelation to Pastor Fred. He prayed it that day. We have in both of their rooms, we've got Maritza painted something with the meaning of their names. And this morning again, I was just amazed to see how God designed their character. No, temperament is deeper than character. So that is something that it's a compass that gives our lives direction. Now it's very clear when you come and visit me that you will see I'm just using my family because I don't want to use yours, that how the one boy will do a back somersault into the swimming pool, do all the reckless stuff, and the other one will test the water first. No, it's a bit cold. We're not jumping in today. The other one, just do it, you know. There's something later on in life that's part of how they are going to solve issues. Some of us are people like, where's the problem? Let's sit down. Let's solve it. Let's go on. Some of us guys will be take a step back. Ooh, this is complicated. No. I can't deal with this. I have to stand back now. Let's get help. Now, a week or two ago, my good friend Johan Potgieter was there. It was a Friday evening, I think. And we were talking, it's the end of the week, and I think there's a few similarities between our temperament, you know. And I think we made a joke or two, and we both said, now we really just need time in the box, in our wee time. Let's the man cave, whatever you want to call it. And some other people won't understand that. It's always me and my wife always laugh about it. When we go to her parents for a weekend and we spend time there, if we bribe, there's about 20 other people. Because that's the character, the nature, the temperament of her parents. They just love inviting 20 other people. That's how they have good time and recharge. When we go to my family, it's just us. okay? Because we are like that. We just spend time with each other and we see there's good time and quality time. Now, who's right and who's wrong? There's not a right and wrong. Okay, some people recharge by spending time on their own, going for a jog on their own, reading a book. Other people love conquering, climbing a mountain. Skola, maybe you, I don't know. Other guys like to challenge themselves and run 40 kilometers or something like that, and then they really feel good about themselves. There's not a right and wrong about these things. It's a permanent inborn design. And you're going to see where I'm going with all of this. So that means it's not something that's going to change. God was not confused in eternity when he gave you a name, let's say a job description, what characteristics you're going to have, the way you're going to live in this world. And I just love, if we look at each other, how we differ, because that makes us strong when we come to the body of Christ. And sometimes, and that's why I say this is important to me, because sometimes you will look to someone else and you think like, I wish I was like that person. I wish I could handle stress like that person. I wish I could sing like that person, whatever the case might be. It's a predictor of our strength and weaknesses. Okay? So a while ago, you know, Pastor Yankor and Hercules were here and they stayed over at our house. So, you know, they're greeting my boys, and Alvin is usually like this. Hi, I'm Alvin. I'm in grade one. I've got two dogs. I live in that room. And then he goes on for 5 minutes, and they're like, cool, cool, and stuff. The other one is, Gustav, come, greet the people. Okay. And then he disappears. Okay, he doesn't have that thing about interacting with people he doesn't know that much. He's a bit more reserved, you know. And throughout the 2 days, the one probably spoke 5,000 words to the grown men, and the other one maybe just said bye after 2 days. That's fine. But it helps us to understand we are not the same. What if the one isn't right and the one isn't wrong? And it goes for us in church as well. It is the center of our experience, our thought patterns, emotion, orientation, and drive. The one boy, when he gets home after school, he likes to take a piece of paper and then he starts to draw. He loves it. That's fine. The other one, he needs to ride on his bicycle, run a few times around the house, fight with his sister. Then he feels good. Okay? That's how we differ. And that's where me and Putty came in the other day when we said, okay, now we just want to see no people, just be in our me space, no one else. For the other person, that might be very boring, but for us, it's important to keep our sanity. Now, if we just have a look in Scripture, in Ephesians 2 verse 8, I wonder how many times I've used this scripture before, but I just love it. You can read with me. Ephesians 2 verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I'm going to read that last part again. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, that is where I guess we need to be accountable to each other as well. Where God has called you for something. If you've got a gift, and soos in Afrikaans sê, en jy bære dit onder die maat emmer, God might ask you one day, why did you do that? That's where we need to stir the flame. You know, we have to encourage each other to run with God, what God has given us. To be accountable in that sense. Not to lose sight. And that is just to come back to what I was talking about at the start. When we battle with a small thing, it can become such a big thing that we can lose sight of the main thing. And I believe if you stood here this morning and you were maybe fighting in your head or heart with someone, something, circumstance, situation, and you weren't focusing on worshiping God, then you were losing time to spend with the Father in a sense. Okay? It's not a sin in that sense. It's just like wasted time. And the enemy, he always wants to do that. If he can take our focus away from God and what he called us to do and put it on my fight with Michael, my fight with Stefan, my fight with Johan or whoever, you know. Then I'm just standing in my heart and think like, "Yoch, Michael, why didn't you do this? And Stefan, why that? And Johan, why did you say that?" And then you're running those things in your mind. Anyone like else that in church sometimes, here and there, okay, that stuff happened. And then sometime you go at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock at bed, and then you think like, you feel tired, you feel miserable, you know. But then actually, the enemy has got it just to focus you on something else, not on God and what he called to do. Now, if we stand still for a moment, and I want you actually to go home and meditate on it. I'm going to read it the third time. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Does that mean God knew in eternity, not in the past, in eternity, because that's how God operates, that there will be two children named Alva and Gustav and the third one Ulrike, and that they will have a temperament, a calling, that they will exist, and that God is preparing them, me and you, for something that he's going to do in this time right here, right now. Who of you ever thought, "I wanted to live in another time, 100 years ago, 300 years ago, Warrior definitely wants to. I thought like, it seems like it's almost half of us. I definitely had a few times in my life, I thought like, God, I was born definitely too late. I should have lived 50 or 200 years before. Ride a horse, then drive a bucky, you know, or stuff like that. Hunt for food every night. That must be fun. I'm sure about it. But the thing that it says, prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. If we think about it, it means God had a plan for your life. In eternity, it's good works, and he want me and you to walk in that. I was speaking to Reinald that had to unfortunately go and work right now. He's busy with what God has called him also to do. I said to him, you know, many times, and that's the thing, the nice thing about Scripture, it doesn't just give us this picture of a lot of perfect leaders and people. It shows us all the sins and the weaknesses from Samson to Moses to everyone. Okay, only Jesus was perfect. And it gives us that picture. Now, I'm now distracting myself. That's not a good thing. I wanted to make a point there, but now I forgot. So I'm going to read you the next scripture, and hopefully the Holy Spirit will remind me right now about what I actually wanted to say. Let's go to the next scripture. Romans 8, verse 28. "We are assured and know that God, being a partner in their labor," that's us, "all the things work together and are fitting into a plan for good to and for those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose." It's from the Amplified Bible. "And are called according to his design and purpose." So this morning, it's so important that we can see God will give Jonah a job, something to do. And God gave us a free will as well. You know, we don't even have to accept Jesus Christ. That's the right thing to do, but you can resist it. I think some of us in our lives have maybe resisted it. I have definitely. Before I got born again, certain person invited me to church, and I said to him, "No thanks, I do have a church." It was just about avoiding something I know God wanted to do in my life. Maybe you have something like that. But the thing is, God will give that job to Jonah, and Jonah will say, "I'm not going to do that. I'm afraid, I'm scared, I'm not qualified," what the case might be. But then, guess what God is doing? You will end up, because God, that's the only thing. God didn't have the other job for Jonah. That was his job. So God brought him back, gave grace. And in my own life, I can testify about taking wrong turnoffs as a Christian, making wrong decisions. But then God doesn't just come and he smacks you from the table and it's the end of you. God doesn't do that. So we should allow each other also that grace. Yes, you can get hurt, and you can get, if you make wrong decisions, you know, there will be, let's say, penalties involved in life, stuff like that. But it's important to see that you can't go to God and say, "You know, God, you made me this type of person. Please change me." I'm talking now about your temperament, the inner part, that calling part. You know, yes, you can change in terms of not driving too fast, not using bad language, Those type of things we can change. But I think God is going to, when we stand before God one day, He's going to show us a picture about ourselves. And I think for most of us, it's going to be a case of God showing us that you just had to trust me, you know, and then you could have done what I wanted you to do. And I think sometimes we are hesitant. Sometimes we are afraid. We're like Moses and we say, God, I don't want to talk in front of people. And that doesn't mean everyone is called to talk in front of people. But it's just that place of giving over to God and saying, God, I'm going to accept who I am, what you called me to do, and I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. I need you 110% in everything of that, God. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, thoughts of peace, in other translations, and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And I was sitting there that Saturday morning in Swakopmund, listening to Pastor Hercules, sharing that Friday to my wife, God, I'm trusting you to give me direction regarding this or that. I'll probably share it later on. And it was so amazing just sitting there and almost having that smile and say, yes, God, you caught me again. You know, I thought I'm going to do this and this and this. And God, it just, you know that thing where you sometimes you have to laugh at yourself when you did something silly? It was that type of a feeling when I just knew in my heart, okay, God, I know you're speaking to me. I know I just should let go of ABC and just go with what you are actually all the time saying to me. I'm just doing this, you know. We do that sometimes. What are you doing with your days? Our eternal call is to find contentment and relationship in Him. Our earthly call is to glorify His name on earth. In eternity, nothing comes to having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Here where we live right now, to give glory to God's name. Now, if you get so distracted, like I said earlier, it's going to be difficult to give glory to God's name. Because when we are obedient to what God called us to, and I don't think if I say call, I mean ministry, being a missionary, full-time, stuff like that. That's a mistake. That's not what I'm saying this morning. But God always have a plan. And last week, listening to Pastor Philip when he spoke about the harvest and stuff, it just challenged me once again. And earlier in the week, somewhere in the week, I went and I had to do the alignment of my car's tires. And I went to a place in Windhoek who does it. And I just started, there was a guy that helped me, and I just started to talk to him and talk. And, you know, you have got some spare time. The funny part was I actually took like 3 magazines that I haven't read the past how many weeks. I thought, okay, now I'm going to have at least 45 minutes to sit there and read them. And then the guy came and sit with me, and he's having his Coke and his pies. And then we just talked, you know, and have a conversation. And then I gave my number to him. He phoned me, I think, 2 days later, and he said, can we meet Saturday? I said, Saturday is going to be a bit tough. Can we see each other sometime in the week over lunchtime? And we did that, and we talked. We went to a place and we had a lunch together, and we talked about a few things. And what I almost forgot, or what I wasn't like thinking of, is, you know, he's told me somewhere, he said to me, but you were different than most of the other clients. You know, you actually spoke to me not just like about the job and the stuff, but you had a conversation, and we end up talking about our country and people and stuff like that. And that is the call. That's the thing that we have, that people can see. You know, Kurnaya, I just have to laugh right now because I know you're nodding your head. And Kurnaya, the one day I remember he said, you know, working and it's tough. So he's got praise and worship music in his car. And then when he gets out of the car, he can't hear the music, the praise and worship music. And then, you know, it's so much easier to battle with people, whatever. Kurnaya, it's a compliment, actually. It's a good thing. But that is what God called us for. And it's actually so easy. That's why last week when Philip testified about the harvest being ready, that's truly so. Any of you experienced something like that in the past week? Anyone have experience where God was just using you? You know, and that just is so fulfilling in a sense to know that God is using all of us. In John 15, verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Have you tried that? Have you tried to bear fruit without being planted in Jesus? You're going to get very, very limited results. Because God knows better. He knows the how and the way he wants to use you. Okay? In this world, there's a lot of people that seems to be very successful building big empires. But we're going to just see right now in the next part of Scripture that it's actually going to be, it's going to come to nothing. So some people are really called to change nations. And some people are just called to intercede for the person who's preaching right now in a church in Windhoek. I remember once Pastor Fred said, he was speaking about the body of Christ, and he said that some of the people he values the most is, and he spoke about the old lady sitting figuratively there at the back of the church, just praying for what's happening right now in church. Not the, I don't want to say the people with the show or the big that's being seen, but that person who's praying for what's happening right now. And that just helps us to understand it's not the worship leader, the person preaching, that's most important. God assigns a value to each and every one of us. Last year, December, we were visiting people, and then I see my one boy, he climbed up a lamp pole very easily. And then the other one tried it as well, but he didn't got this high. So God gave a measure of ability to every one of us, and the one that's climbing higher isn't always more faithful, because you can climb 2 meters high and God has called you to climb 4 meters high. And then the one that's maybe just called to climb a meter, if he gets to 80 centimeters, I guess he's closer being to fulfilling his calling than the other one. But if we look with worldly eyes, then we measure it differently. I'm going to read now from 1 Corinthians 3, from verse 9 to 15, and that's probably going to be the last verse for now. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, that's Paul speaking, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold or silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burnt up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Now that, the dots I want to connect this morning is, it's easy for us to get distracted and focus on things God has not called us not to do. Keep your main thing the main thing. God has given each of us here a temperament, a design. You can predict where you will probably be strong, where you will probably battle in life, okay? Make peace with that and go with God, what God is calling you. And then this part of Scripture always just challenges me. It's not about our salvation, but it's about what we do as Christians. Jesus Christ is the foundation, and then we are building this building. Guess what? Not some of us are called to build. All of us are called to build. So this is something we have to make peace with. It says here in verse 10, let each one take care how he builds upon it. You need to build. You will know in your heart God, as you walk with him, he will show you what part, what type of builder you are, where you need to invest as a builder. Then it goes on and it says, it speaks about, now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one of us have done. And that's where maybe I should speak with more respect to the Made in China brand when I was a child. But that's where I want to connect those things. It it might seem if you are building stuff that seems useful. But one day we're going to stand before God, and this is actually something very serious. And then he's gonna burn everything, and only the solid stuff is going to remain behind. The wood and the straw, those things, they will probably burn very easily away. The precious stone, the gold and the silver, that's the stuff that's going to remain. And that's the things God is actually going to reward us for. So it's something that we all need to hear. It's something that we all need to understand. And saying it with respect, there's certain parts of Scripture, sometimes I thought, I wish I didn't hear it, because then I could say I didn't know it. But when you know it, you need to make a decision. Okay? There's a lot of stuff like that in Scripture. If you heard the gospel, you know, and you stand one day before God, then you can't say, God, I didn't know. If you have heard it and you responded, you will be saved. This part is about building. It's about taking part in this world, in this church, in this society, you know, because later on Paul speaks about, you know, the temple, and he refers to people. So this is what we're not building a physical building. It's about the community we live in, the investment we're making in the church and stuff. The theologian David Garland, he said, God will reward the difference in quality in the final judgment, disbursing reward for work well done and fines for shoddy work. Okay, and that's the thing we need to hear this morning, that the way you build, you can actually stand, and I'm just going to use the worship team as an example. I can't play any instrument. I'm really, what's the word, retarded, neglected. Didn't get any gifts in that sense. Okay, I can't at all. I'm not good with rhythm and stuff like that. I'm very not blessed in that sense. But praise God for guys like you. But you know what? You know, and that's the challenging thing to be a Christian. God doesn't look at the outside. It's not about you standing there. God looks at our hearts. So you can stand here. I can stand here preaching. You can serve. You can sit here this morning. You can play an instrument. You can even sing. Your mind and your heart can be at a totally, totally different place. Okay? And that's the tough part about hearing what God's word is saying, that we are there. God looks at your, and that's the beautiful thing, like that, I can't remember now, right now, where it's in Scripture about giving. And it says the widow, you know, she gave more than most of the other people. You know that part. And that is, God is not interested in the big check you write about the big things. It's the heart you do stuff with. And God knows your circumstances. If you give $10 and that's 10% of your budget, it's amazing. It's not less than the guy that gives $1,000, which is maybe he gets $100,000. You know, God knows our hearts. So this morning, I really, for my own life, I guess I was at the place the last months where I really had to get back to say, God, temperament, the inner design. God, what did you call me to do? Because it's very easy to say sometimes, God, but I don't want to and I can't and I have this and I have that. God is going to ask us one day about the skills and the stuff that he gave to us. And he's gonna burn our works. And then we have to see what will last and what will not. Paul expected others to build upon the foundation to build up the church. Each member has an assignment in this building project. In chapter 15, 58, Paul encourages us to always excel in the work of the Lord. That means build harder. It's blessed. It's awesome to take a break sometimes and to get a bit of vision or purpose or make sure if you're still on the right path. But he says we should excel in that. And it's something I guess we can all just take home. Each individual bears responsibility for his or her contribution to the building and will receive a reward or a loss on the basis of the quality of workmanship. Did you know that we're going to rule and reign one day with Jesus Christ? That means the rewards. I'm not exactly sure in what way we will get it, but Scripture says we will be rewarded. We're not talking about salvation here, just to be important. God's going to reward us. Now, I guess you want to not your work to be burned to dust. You want it to stand there and stood the test of time. Sometimes I think, maybe for other parents, I think, I wish I could intervene in my children's salvation because I know how important it is. I wish I could say yes on their behalf. But Sarah, we can't. Our children have to make that decision for themselves. And I guess each parent will pray for his and her children's salvation because we want to see our children have a relationship with God. I'm a pastor. I'm in ministry. That's zero guarantee that my children will serve God. But I do pray, and I do try to share the word with them and give them the opportunity to respond to Jesus Christ in their lives. But it's something they're going to have to do for themselves. And here it says, each one of us are going to have to give account for our works. And we don't want to stand there one day before God, and God says, okay, where's your works? Don't get now salvation again, salvation by works type of argument. It's just something where we sometimes have to say to each other, right here, right now, we're mostly in the 20s and 30s, there are one or two older people here, but we've got an opportunity to be builders right here and right now. Are you building currently, or are you watching, or are you criticizing those who are building? You know, sometimes we drove past building sites, and then it seems if nothing is happening. I'm not in the building industry, but I guess if you're a boss or a leader or a something, you want the guys to really build fast, okay? So I guess God also wants us to build, eh? To take part in this process and to build quality stuff. How are you spending your days? Are your eyes on eternity or on the temporary things? Nothing wrong with going to fish this afternoon, having a nice meal. That's fine. We always need to just keep those things in perspective. God gave us teeth. That means we can eat. It's good. Okay? But just make sure that you zoom out regularly enough to see, God, where am I going? Am I still on the trajek? You know, the trajek, that thing. I don't have rhythm, and I don't have that big gift of English, Mike. But I'm glad you guys can translate anyway. Are you still on the trajectory about where God has shot you with, like a bow and an arrow? Are you still on that thing? It's important that we, sometimes you get a few degrees off and you don't notice it. And it's important that we can come back to God and say, God, please bring me in line with where you are basically shooting me at right now. Don't lose sight on the bigger picture, Jesus Christ, that we are, you know, don't get distracted in the daily stuff. And last week, Pastor Philip, you know, as he said, the harvest is ready. And that means, you know, that's part of this thing. We are building the church. We have to go out, and we need to just go to people. Actually, this past week, I myself again just see it's actually not so difficult. Sometimes we think we need to start with sharing the gospel, but you can sometimes just start by, you know, building a relationship, making a friend, and then there will come a time where we can share the gospel with someone. Can I pray for us this morning? Yes, Father, I want to thank you this morning, Lord God, that in eternity, Lord God, your word said, Lord God, that you had a plan and a purpose and a design for each and every one, for our lives, Lord God. And yes, Lord God, we know that you are building your church, Lord God, and that we are co-builders, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that you called us in eternity, Lord God, to work with you, to build with you, Lord God. I've many times, God, I think that, yes, Lord God, you could have just assigned the army of angels to do a work, Lord God. But you called us, Lord God, people, Lord, to walk here, Lord God, and to make mistakes, but also to be part of your eternal plan, Lord God. Father, thank you for the grace that you give to our lives, Lord God, that you assign to our lives, to empower us to build, Lord, but also like Jonah, Lord God, when he is stubborn and he says, God, I'm not going to do this, or I don't want to do this, Lord God, that you actually still allow us to get us to a place where he could minister to the Assyrians, Lord God, and where they actually repented, Lord God, and that where they were actually spared, Lord God. Father, this morning about works in our own lives, Lord God, thank you for the opportunity of being builders, Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, that that you will speak to us in dreams and visions through Scripture, Lord God, through our brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord God, that you will speak to us, Lord God, about building with gold and silver, Lord God. And right now, Lord, we are maybe building with straw or hay or wood or something not that lasting, Lord God, that the fire will burn away easily. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will come and reveal that to us, that you will show us, Lord God, we are building the cheap stuff right now. And you call us to do more, Lord. Father, please give us the grace, the strength, the mercy, Lord God, to build the way you want us to build. Father, that we don't have to look to the person next to us, what they are building, the way they are building, because you say you're going to keep each one of us accountable for our works. Father, reveal to us what we are busy right now. Father, that we can take that step backwards, Lord, and see eternity, Lord God, that we will spend it with you, that we've got an opportunity right now to gather stuff for eternity, Lord, that you want to reward us, Lord, but you also gives us a warning to take care of the way we are building in, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity that we have right now, Lord, and I just pray, Lord God, we our hands are sometimes weary and tired, Lord, or they're not sure what to do, Lord, that you will strengthen them. Thank you that you have planted each one of us in a family and church, Lord, that we can speak to each other, Lord. And sometimes it's easier to not confront each other and just hope the other person will be okay on his or her own. But, Lord, that we can actually speak into each other's lives and challenge each other, Lord, about the way we are building, the way we are living, what we are doing with our lives, Lord. It's actually not our own, Lord. You gave it to us. You gave us life in Jesus Christ, Lord. And I just pray, Lord God, that corporately as a team, Lord God, the churches here in Namibia, in Windhoek, Lord God, that we will build together, Lord God, that our works, Lord God, will be eternal, that it will carry weight, Lord God. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So there's a challenge for all of us, something to just go and see about the way you are building right now. If there's any one of you guys, if you need more information about the camps, the Awaken, the men's camp, the regional camp, please speak to me. I'm the pastor and the secretary right now at this stage, the husband and the father of three, owner of three dogs as well. So I try to manage all these things. As you know, we've blessed Liesl. She's working for an engineering company. If you missed it this Sunday when we basically blessed her and pray for her. So if there's anything you need to know about admin or church stuff or the camps or dates or what, please speak to me. If there's any one of you and you feel, as I said just after the worship, if you feel that there's those distractions, those things that's really bothering you right now, I would love to pray with you. The rest of you guys, enjoy the rest of the Sunday and be blessed. You